What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TanManBaseballFan.com. I actually really kind of discovered something that's really cool. I wrote an article about it, and believe it or not, this is like the first article I've written in probably half of a year. That kind of gives you a good idea of like how busy I've been. And really, if I'm being honest, I don't think I've really had a whole lot of interesting things to say when it comes to our hobby. You know, I haven't really picked up a whole lot of cards this year. I've sold a couple big cards to the point where the money that I was offered, it would have been stupid if I didn't take them. And it was vintage stuff. But when it comes to actual Canseco cards, I haven't picked up a whole lot, but what I have picked up are massive, absolutely huge cards. So let me tell you about a couple of them. One of them is just a card that I've done a deal with a friend of mine in, probably a couple weeks ago. And another one has a fantastic story. And it also has some repercussions for you as well, where you might be able to dig in your collection and find some honest to goodness gems. So that's kind of my hope, is that you'll be able to find something fun to do to add another layer to this hobby of ours once you stop listening to this podcast, this episode. So the first one let me tell you about is kind of an interesting deal. I was actually on eBay, and I was lucky enough to find a Canseco barrel card. Really happy to get it. It's like, it was a very neat card. And I think it was 2022 tier one. I think it is. I can't really keep up with all of the different brand names anymore these days, but super nice card. I showed my friend John the card, and he's like, "Hey, that's really cool. Hey, let me know if you want to, because I told him, I said, probably it's not going to stay with me forever. Because I already have my definitive barrel card. I'm always looking to upgrade or whatever, but like for now, I like the barrel card that I have like a lot. Like I just love this thing to death. So the barrel card that I have now is a 2016 museum, I believe. And it, if I remember correctly, is Jose's really kind of second licensed barrel card with a picture of him. 2009, I think, was the first one. I don't know if that's considered licensed or not. It doesn't even have a picture of him on the front. Really kind of a weird card. But anyway, this one is really, really neat, you guys. Like, it was released, I think, a week after the first licensed card, which is like a Gypsy Queen or something. If I remember correctly, but this one has the artwork's beautiful. It's got nice silver foil. It's got, centered the actual name Cooper Pro 100, and it has his name underneath it. I mean, the bat barrel is just pretty much perfect. So the bat barrel that I landed was really nice also, but you know, I don't really have a need to have two barrels unless the other one's autographed, and this one was not. So I showed my friend John, and he said, "Hey, if you are ever interested in moving it, maybe we could put that toward the Superfractor autograph I just got." So I said, "Oh, okay." And as I start looking at the Superfractor, as it's a 2023 Topps Finest, I think, Superfractor autograph of Canseco, obviously. And I was, as I kept looking, I started liking it more and more. And I don't have a Superfractor autograph of Canseco. And so I started really thinking about it a lot. And at first I was thinking I would be able to, trade him my barrel for his Superfractor and a few cards. He wasn't feeling that. And then I go, "Huh, well, what about straight up?" And he goes, "No." I go, "Whoa, I would have never in a million years thought I would put things with a barrel to get any Superfractor. But here I am." So I ended up putting some other really cool cards into the mix. He agreed. And you guys, I am in love with this card. Like, I've had a number of Superfractor autographs of Canseco. There's not many of them that have been made. I think maybe, I'm probably going to be off on this, but I'm guessing five or six or so. Yeah, maybe a little more, but I think it's 5 or 6. And I think I've had probably about 4 of them. And this one is, my goodness, it's by far my favorite out of all of them. So I'm super happy. Like, I love it to death. So that has a really kind of a, it's neat because it's something I love being able to do. I love being able to trade. Now, the next thing is actually really interesting as well. And believe it or not, this card that I picked up knocked off a 99 PMG that I displayed on my shelf and kind of assigned that to box duty because I like this card so much. And I'll start off with how it begins in August. And so in August, first of all, let me tell you, I like to post a custom card that I create every day, as much as I can, just so people see what I'm doing and they can commission me and that sort of thing. And so it works out real nicely. I really look forward to it every day, and I love hearing the feedback and all that. So, anyway, so I said, I wonder what I'm going to do now. And I decided to do a super patch card that I created of Kinseiko, with a jumbo player worn Texas Rangers patch. It's not just any Rangers patch though, you guys. It's actually the 20th anniversary one. And so I put that in there. I loved it, and I was thinking, I wonder if there's a story behind this. Let me see if I can get a picture, a really neat picture of Jose wearing the same style patch. Well, as I started looking, I really couldn't find anything except for the infamous game that took place, I believe, is on May 26th, 1993, where I believe the name of the player is Carmelo Martinez. Hits a fly ball in the outfield. Kinseiko tracks it down. Instead of catching it, the ball bounces on his head and then over the fence for a home run. Yes, my favorite player is so strong that he can even hit home runs with his head. But anyway, so it's kind of embarrassing thing for him, I'm sure, but Jose takes it in stride. He actually is frequently requested to sign 8x10s of him actually having the ball hit off his head. And I've seen him inscribe "ouch" and all this. So he's a really good, really good sport about it. But anyways, the sad thing is like 3 days later, I believe the Rangers were playing the Red Sox and it was a blowout. So Jose's like, "Hey, let me pitch." Well, he pitches and basically, unfortunately, he ends up having to get season-ending surgery a while later. Really a bummer thing. And so he comes back and he has a great rest of his career, but of course it's ended very shortly because he's blackballed from baseball. He is out of baseball by the age of 37 years old. And the guy was still a monster. Like, it was just insane. Like, he was still doing really well. And the problem was, is over the years, he's had all kinds of injury problems. But it was frankly bizarre that he was out of baseball at 37. But, like I said, he was blackballed. So, little conspiracy theory time here. He ended up with 462 home runs. Imagine if, and this is a little rabbit trail, and I apologize, but imagine if Jose doesn't pitch that game on May 29th, I believe it was, 1993. He doesn't get injured. He has a good rest of the year. And instead of having 462 home runs, you can add on 20 or 30 more. So he's at 482 or 492. At that point, it's much more enticing for a couple of things. Number one, for people to play him later on in his career. And number two, for another team to sign him so they could have a 500 home run hitter on their team and do it, with their team. If that happens, maybe he's not blackballed. If he's not blackballed, maybe he doesn't come out with his tell-all book. If he doesn't come out with his tell-all book, maybe, just maybe, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Roger Clemens, all those guys, including Jose, are in the Hall of Fame. Little conspiracy theory. That could be way far-fetched, but very interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of holes in my theory, my potential theory, but that's all it is. It's just a theory. So interesting stuff. Interesting thing to think about anyway. So back to this patch. I found it interesting that it's the only type of card or picture that I could find of Jose is wearing this 20th anniversary Rangers patch is when he has the ball bounce off his head and when he's pitching. So I go, huh, that's really strange. Well, later on that day, you guys, I mean, this is strange. A 2020 absolute card of Canseco, patch numbered out 5 with a game used Rangers 20th anniversary patch, not just player worn like I had him wear for me, but a game used patch came up for sale on eBay for $150. I snapped it up as quickly as I can and I go, holy smokes, this is a very nice card. It's really, really cool. And I go, man, this is really neat. So I start thinking about it. I start doing some research and I go, huh, I wonder if there is any chance whatsoever, if this is the same patch that Jose wore from the jersey that he had the ball bounce off his head. And by the way, let me tell you the historical significance of this, you guys. Keith Olbermann ended up buying the hat that the ball bounced off of his head from. And it's consistently known as the number one blooper in all of baseball history. And maybe sports history. I don't know. I don't really know my other sports all that well, but for baseball, it's the number one. And I guess thankfully for Jose, he was such a celebrity, massive star. In fact, one of the biggest star in baseball for a while. That doesn't overshadow his accomplishments. I'll tell you what, every May I get so many messages from people. Hey, it's the anniversary of, when the ball bounced off his head. And that's just kind of part of how it goes. And so as a big fan of his, I kind of cringe a little bit, but I'm used to it, and it's okay. So that's, everything happens to people. That's just how it goes. But anyways, I start thinking Panini has this 20th anniversary patch, game used. In their cards. And yes, the back of the cards say game worn. And I go, I wonder if there's any way to figure out if this was from those games, the blooper game and the pitching game. So I started thinking about it. I'm thinking, okay, in 93, Jose only played for a couple months. In 93, that was the only year the Rangers wore this patch. So I start searching and Googling and everything, and I come to find out there's an auction house in early 2018 that sold a game-used Jose Canseco Rangers jersey with that patch. In fact, after doing some searching on eBay and trying to match up threads and that sort of thing of other cards that Panini used, I came to the determination that that it is in fact the same jersey that Panini used to cut up to put in these cards. Now, in the auction house listing, it's Heritage Auctions. It's possibly the biggest auction house for sports cards. I start reading, and it talks about how they were able to photo match the jersey using Getty Images, Jose Canseco number, whatever, to three games that he played in Milwaukee, which were in the end of April. And he said, and the listing said they're not able to photo match the jersey to the infamous games, the blooper game and the pitching game, that 3-day stretch. However, they said that there's a high probability that it is the same jersey, given the fact that they're given two jerseys to wear all year long, and that it was only in May. So it's more likely to believe that this is the exact same jersey that happened. So like, think about this. When Jose's up there and he sees that fly ball, he's reaching up. This sleeve patch is like mere inches away from where the ball hits on his head. You know, that's kind of a crazy thing. Or, you know, you think of it being on his shoulder sleeve as he's pitching. Wild stuff. And so like, it's this sort of thing that makes baseball cards wildly exciting to me, because not only do I have a cool piece of baseball history that almost everybody knows about, but it's sitting on my shelf and it's a conversation piece now. It's not just a beautiful card, which it is a beautiful card. And by the way, believe it or not, a couple months later, about a week ago, another card out of the 5-card run came up for sale on eBay. And I liked the patch way more, which they're both beautiful cards, obviously. They're out of the same run or whatever. But this patch is just, it's something I just am in love with. So I ended up winning it at auction, and it like ended at like 7:30 in the morning on Sunday or something. And I am ecstatic. The thing is just flat out gorgeous. And anyway, so it's very interesting to think that there's really a historic piece of fabric in these cards. Now, let me tell you where you come in on this. First of all, Panini, if I remember correctly, has created a plethora of Canseco Rangers game used cards from 2018 to, who knows, present, at least to 2020. So what that means is that there is a high likelihood that whether you have a premium patch like I do, or even just a tiny, super plain gray jersey swatch, it means that you likely have a piece of that jersey that he wore during those infamous games. That's really exciting to me, you guys, because that turns a $5 jersey card into history. And that's really, really, really cool to me to think. Now, I don't have any regular plain jersey cards in there, but I know, I'm sure there's hundreds of you out there that do, because that's how many they made probably. Whether it's an absolute card or a flawless card or National Treasures card. Like, I think they put them, those jersey pieces, in a lot of different cards. There's probably, you know, maybe 10 or less total cards with that patch, with that Rangers 20th anniversary patch. And, you know, while I would say that's at the top of the heap as far as, you know, the type of patch or whatever, I would also say that's really kind of the catalyst for me being able to unlock this whole thing anyways, to find out that these little gray swatches even are something like really special as well. Which is really cool. I mean, it's super cool. I also have a flawless nameplate patch card, which, if I'm being honest, you guys, like, I didn't really think too terribly much about it. Like, I was thinking, I don't think this really fits in my collection. It's neat, but man, if I did the design, I would have done this, and this differently or whatever. Well, it's half of the O from his back. And so I'm thinking, man, I'm watching video, I'm seeing, you know, the back of his jersey where it says Canseco. Like, I could actually point out the part of where this patch from my card is on him in the video. So it makes it all that much more interesting and exciting to me. So anyways, there it is, you guys. That's, you know, again, if you have a Canseco card, this game used Rangers card from Panini, you probably have something really special. Now, for all of you guys out there that are not Canseco fans and collect other players, let me tell you, you can run this kind of exercise as well. If you have some sort of, and you don't even have to have like a monumental card yourself. If, let's say, Cal Ripken Jr., just as an example, has this wild patch that is in, you know, Topps Tribute or Dynasty or whatever, There's a possibility that you can track down that specific jersey in an auction house. The auction house might have a letter of authenticity that talks about maybe it's from his final game. And if that's the case, you might have a Cal Ripken Jr. card that has an embedded piece of jersey from his final game that he wore. It's those sorts of things that you could really dig into. And it just adds another layer to this already amazing hobby, right? So it's really kind of a fun thing. I've done that with a few other Canseco cards of mine as well. And it's so much fun. It's endless fun. I love being able to do that with these. And so I guess that's one thing that it has over a card like a Super Fractor. Like the Super Fractor is just something that they printed. They're going to print more. You know, they're going to do probably a billion other Super Fractors down the road. And it's really at the discretion of Topps how many they want to print. But when it comes to special pieces like these with the patches and everything, to me, I think that's where the story is. That's where the excitement can come in. Don't get me wrong. I'm super excited about the Super Fractor. I love it. I think, in fact, my son Atticus came in. I asked him, I said, hey, out of all of these Canseco cards, I've got like, you know, maybe 30 or so that are displayed. What are your favorite three? And so he said his first favorite was going to be the Crusade, the Red Crusade, because he loves, you know, that Crusade time period and the, you know, dragon or lion or whatever it is in the background. And he said his second favorite is the Super Fractor autograph. I found that very interesting. So I thought that was really kind of a cool thing. But I'm trying to remember what his third favorite was. 2010 Exquisite. And I didn't patch. I didn't expect that, but it's a beautiful card too. So, but anyway, so there it is, you guys. If you run this exercise on other cards, I would love to hear about it. Feel free to email me, tanmanbaseballfan@gmail.com. And as always, you guys, thanks for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful day.